Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
It's another great day here at Mom Talk Radio, and I am super excited that you have decided to spend some of your day with us because we've got a lot to talk about. There's tons of mom issues going on in the world. It's back to school season. It's time to pay all the fees for those after school activities your children are involved in. It's time to sign up for volunteer opportunities. It's a busy season, no matter what phase of motherhood you're in. And if you're one of those moms who maybe are expecting, or you have a little one at home and you're breastfeeding, you need to know about our sponsor, Premama. Drink Premama is the website, and Premama is now expanded into CVS. Premama is the prenatal vitamin that actually dissolves in your juice. It's a powder that you put in. You don't have to gag on those big old horse pills. And they bring you Mom Talk Radio every week. So you want to check them out. They actually now have expanded into lactation formulas and fertility formulas. So go to CVS, you'll find Premama there. And if you want to go online, you can go to drinkpremama.com. So I think, so back to school every year happens in our house. And every year I start thinking to myself, okay, I've got to be on top of things because before I know it, the holidays will be here. Inevitably, every year during back to school season, I have a dream that I have forgotten to go Christmas shopping. So everybody wakes up on Christmas morning and we have no gifts, we have no dinner. And I think it's just one of those things that the back to school season triggers in me the fact that I need to start thinking ahead all the way to January. And inevitably I have that dream. It's like those dreams that you have where you have an exam that you can't get to, or one of those dreams that reoccurring dreams that you're falling off of a house. Mine is that my kids wake up on Christmas and they have no gifts, which I guess wouldn't be all that bad because the gift is just being together, right? Isn't that it? But it's still one of those frightful things for a mom to think about. But all I want you to think about for the next hour is Mom Talk Radio and all of the great guests that we have. We're going to be talking with one doctor about self-motivated kids, which is extremely important as we start the school season. And we're going to put a spotlight on another mom who is doing some amazing things. And then we're going to have the author of 30 Million Words, Building a Child's Brain, which, you know, as a mom, that is a very important job, building their brain, building their self-esteem, building their confidence. There's so many things we have to do as moms, and we're going to take care of that business today on Mom Talk Radio. So when we return, we're going to dive into creating a self-motivated kid.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
As we go back into school, many of us are saying to ourselves, how come my child isn't more motivated? Like, why do I always have to push him? I have to fight to do homework. Well, we have the expert here to give you a little bit of guidance. Her book is called The Self-Motivated Kid, How to Raise Happy, Healthy Children Who Know What They Want and Go For It Without Being Told. She is Dr. Shimi Kang, and she's joining us here on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, doctor, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. So self-motivated children, that, so I take it that that's not something that is genetic, that we can actually play a difference, we can make a difference in our children?
Yeah, well, we know that the human brain is motivated along similar lines. So, you know, no matter what your child's personality, temperament, your cultural background, age, there's some certain basic, fundamental, what we call intrinsic motivators, things that get us going. And it's just the way our brains are hardwired. And I cover those in a lot of detail in the book, The Self-Motivated Kid. A lot of parents are going to find these, what I call simple, but not easy. So the tools, the techniques are simple, but they're not easy to implement. And I think sleep is a really good example of that. Sleep, it's simple. We all know we need to sleep. But there's a crisis of sleep deprivation and insomnia. It's not easy to implement.
So do you actually take in the book, do you take us through the steps of how to incorporate more sleep in our children and in those exercises, those things to do?
Yes, I think it's just one, we want to elevate the awareness of these things. Parents come to me all the time. I've been a medical doctor for 15 years, worked with thousands of families, and they may say, you know, my child's unmotivated, and I take a history and their child's sleep deprived. And I say, well, how do you feel when you're sleep deprived? As adults, we know we're not motivated. So just connecting what parents are frustrated or seeing with lifestyle behaviors. And there's three right now that kids are lacking that really lead to self-motivation. So sleep and downtime is one of those. The suggestion I give is schedule that first. You know, right now in September, parents are creating schedules. And I say start with these basics. Start with sleep and then go backwards from there. Start with connection. So kids who are connected to their siblings, to their parents, to other children who have good, strong social bonds, which is different than socializing. Social bonding is different than socializing. They are also more self-motivated. And kids who have free, unstructured time to play. So that those times when they're not scheduled. So my message is to actually schedule those three things in first. Sleep, connection, and unstructured playtime, and then build your activities around that to avoid what we're calling overscheduling, which is leading to exhausted, rigid, perfectionistic kids who can't think outside the box because they're over-instructed and overscheduled and overprotected.
Okay, so let's just I'm getting this sleep deprivation because I was on a red eye tonight, last night, but the sleep is something that we deal with a lot when our children are babies, right? We all want our babies to sleep through the night and whatever. And then somewhere in the growth pattern, we forget about the importance of sleep. A lot of moms don't know how to manage sleep once their children are school age. What time should children go to bed? How do you know how much sleep they need?
So in general, the guidelines that are really well established scientifically, we say that teenagers are needing a minimum of 9 to 10 hours of sleep. So whenever they have to wake up for school, and you know, you want to factor in breakfast and then go backwards from there. And then preteens, we're looking at 10 hours minimum, 10 to 11 would be great. So again, so if they have to get up, you know, at 7 in the morning, then, you know, you want them in bed by 9 at night so that they're getting their 10 hours.
Yeah, I remember that my older kids, and even I remember as a child myself, my mom, we always went to bed earlier than any of my friends. But, and then I grew up putting my children to bed earlier. And even if they don't go to sleep, I've always said you have to just turn off the light and put away the technology. Well, the technologies don't go in our bedrooms, but so how do you manage the sleep thing when sometimes your kids aren't getting home? A lot of moms will say, well, my kid doesn't even get home from practice till 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then they're doing homework. How do you manage that?
So I talk a lot about this in the Self-Motivated Kid because I say that, you know, even with all my knowledge and research and being this, you know, scientific expert on motivation, I found myself keeping my kids too busy and overscheduling them because the pressure right now on parents is really great. We are under pressure. We're marketed. We're being told what to do. But children have never needed all of these activities. I look at myself. I was never in a single activity. So we parents, we do have choices, and these choices are difficult. And the first section of the book is called "This Doesn't Feel Right, But Everyone Else Is Doing It." And that was the what I heard every parent telling me is that something's wrong with this. Why is my kid coming home at 9 o'clock at night? Why are they so busy? Why are we spending so much money on this extra sports and athletics and tutoring? And I know it's not right. It doesn't make sense. I didn't grow up like this, but everyone else is doing it. So my call to action is that parents, we have choices, even though everyone else seems to be doing things. You know, we can decide how we want to raise our kids, and let's look at the science of how kids are raised in a healthy, happy, self-motivated way and simplify. My message is to really take things off that list and be very, very wary of overscheduling.
That's a really great suggestion as well. And maybe also as parents, we need to speak up to those coaches or drama instructors that 9 o'clock is a little late on a school night to be keeping our kids at practice. Great book. You can find it. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, The Self-Motivated Kid, How to Raise Happy, Healthy Children Who Know What They Want and Go For It Without Being Told. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. Great discussion to kick off the back to school season. So thank you very much. We have a link to Dr. Kang's website as well on Mom Talk Radio. So check it out because you're going to find some really good resources there. Next up, we are going to feature one mom who's doing a lot with a mouse that you probably enjoy. Say, well, why talk about Disney in September when kids are going back to school? But did you know that actually some of the best times to go and plan a Disney vacation is during September through the holiday season? And we have one mom who's doing a lot when it comes to the mouse. In fact, her blog is called whatsupwiththemouse.com. Her name is Dawn, and she's the mother of three children, 8, 12, and 15. And she is the object and the person in our spotlight on Moms this week. So welcome, Dawn, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So you focus on Castle Dreams Travel.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Castle Dreams Travel was formed a few years back with my co-owner, myself. We were moms who were doing this for our friends and family and said we should be paid. We're doing this anyway. We love to research. We're type A. We hired other moms who essentially are doing exactly the same thing. You know, moms in general, we research everything. We want to do the best for our families when we go away, especially because you sort of lose a little bit of that control when you're not right in your, you know, familiar environment. And so all of our vacation planners do plan our vacations as if we were planning it as if our own families were traveling. So it's soup to nuts, all sorts of, you know, every little detail that we could possibly think of. We let our guests know, we prepare them fully, and it just worked out fantastically for everyone.
That's awesome. So recently you went to the new Polynesian villas and bungalows and then sailed on the Disney Fantasy. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? What'd you learn?
Oh, so much. There's always so much to learn at Disney. They're always doing something new. The new Polynesian villas and bungalows are brand new. They're still actually still building and reimagining the Polynesian as we speak. The villa that I stayed in a studio. It's so well appointed for a family of five, which is so difficult. I have three kids and my husband and I. There's basically two bathrooms. There's split bathrooms for people who are familiar with Disney Cruise Line. Tons of storage place, tons of, you're not on top of each other in the room. It's fantastic, and you can't beat the location. You're right across the way from the Magic Kingdom. The monorail's there for everywhere else. It's just amazing. And you can't say much more amazing things about the Disney Fantasy. It's just so relaxing. There's so much to do. You can do it all or do nothing. Right. Everything's included. The kids are happy. The parents are happy. My mother went with us. She was happy.
Yeah, fabulous. That's important when mom's happy.
Yes. Keep Nana happy.
I remember when I was a kid and my whole life I wanted to stay at the Polynesian because as a child, we could never afford to stay at the Polynesian. And they had like the best pool. So because they had that rock slide pool and I just – all my life, I dreamed about staying at the Polynesian, and it wasn't until I was like 40 that I actually got to stay there. And now that they're redoing it, I can't wait to stay there again.
It's fabulous. It really is.
Now, you've also been to Disney Alani in Hawaii. What's that like?
It's completely different, but it's gorgeous, very relaxing. Again, tons of things to do. You can all do it all or nothing at all. We were fortunate enough to get a villa with a kitchen, so that helps with the cost because everybody gets so afraid of, well, Hawaii is so expensive. Right. It doesn't have to be. You know, if you sort of, you know, we didn't have to pack as much. We had a washer and dryer in the room. We had a kitchen. You sort of work your way. And to be honest, the cost of Aulani includes so much. There's snorkeling on site. There's a beach. There's several pools. There's a lazy river. There's children's activities. There are teen activities. It's phenomenal and a great way to do it.
It sounds amazing. And your blog is whatsupwiththemouse.com,
yes,
which our listeners can go to find out more about all of your travel and your Disney travel. And we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Also, I want to mention you can follow Dawn on Twitter at Castle Dreams T, the letter T. Mm-hmm. And Dawn, thank you so much for joining us this week. And now you've got me thinking about Hawaii for the rest of the days.
Not a bad thing to think about on a Sunday, is it?
Absolutely not. Thank you so much and have a great day. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to a hardworking single mom who actually has done pretty amazing things in her life.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
As we send our kids back to school, we send them into a world with a lot of challenges for us, you and I. We get to monitor their social media. We get to worry about them being hurt on a playing field. But perhaps the things that we need to protect our children from, we don't really know a lot about, and that is bullying, whether it's cyberbullying or just bullying face to face. It's something that we hear a lot about, but moms often don't know how to detect it or what to do when they see it. So we've brought in an expert, Travis Brown. He grew up in Indiana, raised by a hardworking single mom and a factory working father. He has done really amazing things in the world of anti-bullying. He's actually has a career as America's anti-bullying coach. He's known as Mr. Mojo. He's been seen on Fox, NBC, CNN, and now he's on Mom Talk Radio. So where he's joining us today. Travis, welcome to our show.
Mojo up. So yeah. Thanks for having me on Mom Talk Radio today.
Oh, well, thank you. So one of my children was being bullied many years ago in school, and I had no idea that it was happening. And in retrospect, I wish I had had the tools. I mean, we're taught as moms to identify so many things, you know, if our kids are just taking drugs or they're skipping school, but no one really trains us on how do we know if our children are experiencing bullying. How do you have any advice in that area? What do we look for?
Well, I think today is more challenging than ever, Maria, because in the old days we could see if their clothes were tattered or they'd been beaten or bruised physically on the outside. You know, today our kids are getting beaten and bruised on the inside. And so that's a lot harder to detect. And so parents ask this question all the time, and I'm trying to help them understand that it's every little decision, everything that they do, are they engaged? Are they withdrawn? Are they excited about school and opportunity? Which I have a 13-year-old, which that's kind of hard to get her excited about that. But it's all the little things that add up to, you know, does my kid seem okay? And then it starts the investigation process, checking their social media, seeing what they're doing, text message. Are they socially engaged? Because it's a lot of those things that add up to the big one, which is what is really going on, which often does lead back to they're being bullied.
You know, the other thing is some of our children, you know, I hate to admit it, are bullies. I mean, I don't think any of my children are bullies, but and it might be a hard pill for us to swallow that our children could be, you know, attacking or saying not nice things about another child. How do we know if that's happening, or how do we approach the subject?
Well, a big part of bullying today is how we treat people who are different than we are. And so one of the questions that I have to ask parents is, how does your kid talk about students that aren't in their social group, that are not on their baseball team, that aren't in their choir, that aren't a part of their social clique, how they talk about those students? And often that's really the indicator of how they're talking to people, treating people. The other big things that our kids are not good at disguising anyway is the comments that they make on social media. It's liking a photo or a comment about somebody that's negative. It's retweeting something that somebody else said, but kind of shows a little bit of maybe what they're struggling or what they're thinking or what they're going through. And when that stuff is negative or derogatory towards other people, it's a good indication we need to have some further conversation with our kids.
Okay, so here's the big question. How do we convey to our children that those comments are wrong when we see moms making comments about other moms that their children overhear? We have Donald Trump, who bullies everybody on earth on television, and he seems to be doing well in the polls. And our children see that. They see, wow, look at this big bully. How do you rectify that with your children when you're saying this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but you have public figures and you have moms standing around in the parking lot bashing other moms in front of kids?
Well, the number one solution that we all have to come to grips with is we teach our kids how to treat other kids. I mean, as parents, we teach our kids how to treat other kids. So if we're ever going to make a dent, it really starts at home with every parent in America. And you're alluding to that, saying, well, if a mom's posting this or tweeting this or texting this, they're setting the example for what kids say and what kids do. So then it is very difficult then for a parent to circle back and say, well, don't say these mean things when you're saying the same thing. And just to challenge people, I always say, even politically right now, even if you disagree with candidates, you have to be very careful of what you say. We never want to give our kids the okay to mistreat somebody, talk bad about them, because we don't like what they're saying or what they're doing. Unfortunately, we live in a world today where reality TV has become the norm. You know, the louder your bark, the more disrespectful you are, the more attention you get. And as a parent of a teenager teenager myself, that's the number one challenge, is trying to set an example of what we want them to be, what they should be according to our moral standards in our household, versus what they see and deal with of the world.
Right, right. And sometimes they just think it's funny when they're not taking that step back. And you know, you can't really expect a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old to understand that something isn't funny. I mean, they're thinking with a 15-year-old brain, right? So
and they are. And you got to look at little things too. Like, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos has been around for years. And that show is built around laughing at people getting hurt or doing something stupid or wrong to themselves. So even little things like that, how that sets the template for when a kid sees somebody fall on their face at school, well, they laugh instead of the tendency to go try to pick them up, help them up. And that's what, you know, our whole mission is about, is like, how do we get our kids to start believing that they truly make a difference? They count, they matter, and they can help more than they can hurt.
Travis, it's a really, really important conversation to be having with your kids. Unfortunately, we don't have any more time to talk about it today, but can you tell everyone where they can go to find out more information about what you're doing?
Yeah, mojoup.com, M-O-J-O-U-P.com. Talks about our national anti-bullying tour, what we do for kids, for schools, and our ultimate anti-bullying guide for parents is also located in our resource section. So, but thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And we have a link to mojoup.com on Mom Talk Radio. So y'all check it out, because it is a very, very important subject. And you just can't imagine the impact that another child can make on your child for the rest of their life. Like, if they experience something that's so negative as being bullied by a child at school. So check it out, mojoup.com. When we return, we're going to hear about 4 million teenagers and what they wish we knew as moms.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
You know, many of us are parents of teenagers, and don't you love it? Actually, I love teenagers. That's probably, I think, the funnest phase of parenthood. But some of us struggle a little bit to figure out what our children really are thinking as teenagers. And so there's a new book, Counterintuitive, What 4 Million Teenagers Wish We Knew. It's by Tyler Durman, our next guest. He is a former teacher, and each year he's making presentations all over the country. But he actually interviewed 4 million teenagers. In fact, he's known as the Teen Whisperer. So right now, we're going to uncover the mystery of teens on Mom Talk Radio. Welcome, Tyler, to our
show.
Thank
you, Maria. Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be big news if you can break the crack the teens for us. But what do they want us to know about their bedroom, about listening, their privacy? What do they want us to know?
Well, the big deal, I think, is a backdrop, as I have a saying, even the most sophisticated teenager is like barbecue chicken. Just because they look done on the outside doesn't mean they're done on the inside. And I think what tricks us a lot is we have these little children, all of a sudden they grow, they're bigger than us, they're thinking critically, and they seem to change overnight. But one of the things I've learned is that they have this longing. One of the greatest childhood needs that still lingers inside them is this need to feel safe, to know that there's somebody over them who's more powerful than them, who's got their back, who's going to nurture for them. Definitely, they need us to be parents and not peers, which is completely counterintuitive with all the families I work with who are in crisis. A lot of times we think it makes intuitive sense if we're close and we're try to be their friend that we can provide what they need. But the fact is, if we want a friendship with them, we need to be their parent, not their peer. You know, we could go on and on about all this stuff, but from these conversations that I've had, I also know that they want us, they want to respect us more than they want to like us. And if they don't respect us, then they're not going to like us. And our whole relationship with teenagers is really built differently. The intimacy is built differently than in any other relationship in our lives, because it's not, again, built as equals, but rather as you know, people who are over and in charge and nurturing.
So I know what the wrong approach is, and it's normally what you hear parents saying to your teenager. Let's say they've done something that just seems like, oh my God, why in the world would you have done that? Like, it defies logic. That's what a teenager does, defies logic.
Right.
And the approach that most moms and dads would take would be to scream, to yell, I don't understand. I raised you better than this. What are you thinking? You know,
right.
We start projecting all this stuff on them. What is the best way? You know, our teenager makes a bad decision. Do we speak to the fact that I understand why you made that decision because you're 16 years old and it's my job to keep you safe. So here's the punishment for that. Or how do you handle it?
Our kids are going to run somewhere when they fail. And we all want home to be a safe place to go when they fail. So your question is so wise, because that's an area I find a lot of parents in crisis who've damaged their relationship and credibility with their kids do the typical think I need to react so they never forget how bad this was. We do need to have boundaries. This is it touches on another really important issue, which is the question of freedom, because our kids want more freedom than maybe they're ready for. So how do we deal with that balance in the midst of preparing them for their future when there's going to be total freedom when they leave the house? And if our kids aren't failing, we're probably overprotecting them. But the good news is failure, I don't know about your life, Maria, but I've learned the most important things in life from the mistakes I've made. And so
right.
We have a sign on our kitchen wall that home is a safe place to run when you fail. That's right under the sign that says we are not the Kardashians, in case anyone acts like they're the most important person in the world. We point at them and call them Kim for 20 minutes. So when our kids fail, what we need to do is we need to try to calm down. We don't have to react instantly. They're not puppies that we have to put their nose in something or they're not going to put the connection together. If we're upset and angry, it's totally appropriate to say, I need a few minutes to get myself under control, which is a great way to model, self-control, and then to sit down and have a conversation with them. The lectures don't work, consequences do. But there's a trick to this, because with teenagers, they need the hope that they can gain more freedom. Because when they feel like they'll never have the hope of getting more freedom than they have, then they're going to rebel. But how do we manage that? We have this system in our family, we call it gates and fences, where every boundary we put up in their life, we talk about this is a fence, and we want you to earn more freedom. So when you do, you show us you're responsible for this, that gate will open, and you'll earn more freedom. And so when our kid blows it, makes a mistake, we're admitting our mistakes in our life to show them that mistakes are a part of this journey, and we learn from them. But when they make a mistake, it's not about lecture. It's about, okay, you've shown you're not ready for whatever freedom surrounds that mistake you made. So that gate that we opened swings both ways. So
right.
It's not because we're being a jerk or punitive or don't like you or don't trust you. It's that, we're going to give you every chance to regain that freedom, because we're on your side, not on your back.
Right.
So that gives them that hope as well as a safe place to go.
That totally makes sense. I wish we could talk about this all day, but unfortunately we're out of time. But I do want to encourage, even if you don't have teenagers, this is great wisdom for preparing for the teenage years. And the website is bitesizewisdom.com. Everybody can digest it. The book is counterintuitive. Check it out, because it's really good stuff.
Maria,
yes.
I've kept the chapter short enough so dads can read them on the toilet before their legs go numb. So if there's a mom listening who wants it in, it's very funny. It's not dry or clinical, story-driven. So it's really accessible to dads.
Well, thank you so much. I think I'm going to order it for my husband then. So thanks so much. It's bitesizewisdom.com is where you'll find it. And go on Amazon and pick up a copy to get you off to a good start this year as your children go back to high school. When we return, we're going to move from 4 million teenagers to 30 million words, building a child's brain. We'll have the author next on Mom Talk Radio. So, as promised, we're going to move from 4 million teenagers to 30 million words. That's the name of the book, 30 Million Words, Building a Child's Brain. And the author is Dr. Dana Suskin. She is the founder and director of the 30 Million Words Initiative at the University of Chicago. She has worked in this field for many years in a lot of different ways, and I'm going to jump right in and welcome Dr. Suskin to Mom Talk Radio. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So is it are we able to increase our child's brain power when they're little?
Absolutely. I think that many people don't realize that, unlike all of our other organs, our brains come out really pretty underdeveloped. And in the first 3 years of life, it's actually parent talk, the power of parent talk, that builds a child's brain. In fact, 85% of your brain is fully formed, or the physical part, by the end of the age of three.
Wow. And so what do we do to maximize our brain? And what does moms need to do when they bring home that baby?
Absolutely. Moms have all the power and we in their talk. And we actually call it the three T's. The three T's are the way to build your baby's brain. Tune in, talk more, and take turns. Tune in to what your baby's interested in from day one. He may not have real words, but he's telling or she's telling you a lot by grimaces, by looks, by gestures. Then talk about it. Use rich language. Talk about the past and the present. And then take turns. Believe it or not, you can have a conversation with your baby from day one. They are getting ready to have a conversation. They may not be able to use real words, but start now to build your baby's brain.
Why is the third grade? You talk about third grade being significant. I know for a mom, it's when homework starts, but why is it significant in your eyes?
Well, third grade, you know, everything is building up, you know, your child's ability. And people often look at third grade as the time when you go from learning to read to reading to learn. So you're trying to learn how to read initially, but then what, you've got to get it down so you can learn about all the content that you need. But really, people don't realize that learning to read starts from day one. It's your language ability and the brain power that really gets your child ready to learn how to read. So I really emphasize the importance of talk, even connected to reading.
And what about play? We hear a lot about structured play is good, free play is better. What about play when it comes to our children?
Well, play is one of the most powerful ways to get, you know, have bonding and get language in, from my perspective. So people always want to separate, oh, this is, you know, cognitive learning time, this is play time. Really, when you're in a 0 to 3 space, they're one and the same. And, you know, rich play is probably the best brain building time, an opportunity to use your three T's with your baby or your child.
Okay, so the all-important question, iPads have become kind of a standard.
Yeah.
And I guess just yesterday I was saying they've replaced the crayons at the table. Now moms just hand their child an iPad. Good, bad, what's the feeling there?
That's so funny. Well, I always joke, you know, we have the three T's. I always say the fourth T should be turning off the technology. But, you know, because the truth is that babies don't learn language from television. Now, at the same time, technology is here to stay. So we need to find a way to live with it while understanding what builds children's brains. And even more important than trying to get your child to turn off his or her own iPad is getting yourself to turn off your own technology. And listen, trust me, I'm not one to talk. I know it's an important thing, and sometimes I don't take my own advice. But just understanding what builds babies' brains helps us to understand why we need to limit our technology a bit.
So I know you have a lot more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But do you have a website that folks can go to learn more about your expertise and how to build that brain?
Absolutely. It's 30millionwords.org, and you spell out 30, so T-H-I-R-T-Y, 30millionwords.org.
Right.
Check it out, but know that that every mom has the power to build their child's brain.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I want to thank all of you for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We hope you've taken away something that you can implement in your daily life as we head back to school and into the busy season of fall. I'm Maria Bailey. Can't wait to talk to you again next week right here on Mom Talk Radio.